So I'm going to be talking about the dynamic force measurements that we've done on the undulatory microswimmer C. elegans, which is the same worm that Matilda just talked about. This work was done within the same collaboration in the Dalnoky-Varez lab. So a microswimmer is essentially just an organism that moves through a viscous fluid at small length scales. And we're talking microns to millimeters here. And what's special about moving through a fluid at these length scales is that viscous drag forces turn out to be much bigger than inertial forces, such that one can approximate a microswimmer as having no inertia. So we're in the low Reynolds number limit. So in this viscous regime, there are a few ways to attain propulsion. We're all familiar with the helical beating of a flagellum, which is what a sperm cell does. One can also do something similar to a human breaststroke, which is performed by this particular algae cell. The topic of this talk will be on undulatory locomotion, in which you propagate traveling waves down your body. And here we see a video of C. elegans crawling on agar. I will be focusing on C. elegans swimming in a buffer. And the way that we'll measure these forces that are generated during swimming is also using micropipette deflection. Now, my micropipettes look a little bit different from Matilda's, but they're similar in the sense that they're both very long and flexible. So what I have is a long, very straight and flexible portion of the pipette that terminates in an L-shaped bend that's very rigid. So I catch the worm by its tail at the end of this L-shape, and if it then generates a lateral viscous force, this will cause the long, straight, flexible portion to deflect side to side, which will cause that L-shaped bend to also move side to side in our field of view if we observe it from below with a microscope. Using the same logic, a propulsive force will cause our L-shaped bend to move forwards and backwards in our field of view. And so by simply observing this L-shaped bend from below, we can measure both of these forces simultaneously. So here we see an experiment in which I'm actually holding the worm by its tail with one of these micropipettes. You see that L-shaped bend there that I was discussing in the previous slide, and we're looking from below. So as you see, the worm is propagating traveling waves from its head down to its tail, which serves as a fixed node at the micropipette. You see that the L-shaped bend is deflecting in both directions, and so we can measure both lateral and propulsive forces simultaneously. So here's an example of the experimental data we get. We have the lateral force as a function of time on the top graph, and below it we plot the propulsive force. So this is the first such dynamic force measurement for an undulatory microswimmer, so we're pretty excited about this. Notice that we're measuring nanonewton forces here with good precision. We have nice and reproducible force curves over time that contain some interesting features, and they have a very well-defined frequency. So since we're in the viscous limit, we can understand what, for instance, a maximum in the lateral force corresponds to. This occurs when the worm moves with maximal velocity to the right. This generates a huge drag force to the left, which causes our micropipette to deflect to the left. We've defined left to be the positive lateral direction in this case, and so we measure a maximum in the lateral force. Using the same logic, we can understand what a maximum in the propulsive force means. So as you can see, we can well map what is happening in our images to the features that we actually measure in our force curves. And this led us to approach resistive force theory, which is a commonly used model to describe microswimmers. Essentially, what this model says is that every body segment of a microswimmer feels a viscous drag force that's linearly proportional to its velocity. Now, since I have the images of the worm swimming over time, I can calculate the velocities of all the body segments and in turn generate a theoretical prediction of what the force should be. So once again, here I'm plotting the experimental data that you saw on the last slide, the lateral force as a function of time on the top axis, and below that, that propulsive force. So what we can now do is fit the theoretical prediction to my experimental data, and in doing so, we witness a beautiful agreement, which really points to the success of this relatively simple model in capturing all the relevant physics. And from our fits, we can also extract the worm's drag coefficients. So at this point, we undergo a simple scaling argument to see how the typical lateral forces will scale with the size of the swimmer. And it turns out that they should scale as the length of the worm squared. So if we plot the RMS lateral force as a function of the length of the worm squared, we get this data here, in which every data point corresponds to a single worm. We see that this data is well described by a linear relationship on this plot, which means that indeed our scaling argument is valid. So just to summarize, we've measured forces felt by C. elegans during swimming, and we've done so using micropipette deflection. We've demonstrated the success of resistive force theory in describing the force patterns that we measure, and we've seen that typical lateral forces scale as the length of the worm squared. Thank you for listening, and I'd be happy to take questions.
Thank you, Raphael. Any questions for Raphael? Yes, John.
Well, it actually turns out that the propulsive force doesn't average to zero. Okay. And this is, imagine if you were generating a constant propulsive force, you would see some constant deflection. So actually, the curve is biased a bit above zero. So it still oscillates and sometimes dips below zero, but the mean is still above zero.
Okay, so it is moving.
It would move if we released it, yeah.
Thank you, Rafael.